Good morning to you. Is it okay to say happy Monday? Who talks first? Do I talk first or do you talk first? I talk first. I'll go. You go. Happy Monday. Coming off another summer weekend. I hope you were able to squeeze every last ounce of summer fun out of what is one of the last weekends before Labor Day and then post Labor Day, if the kids aren't already in school, now they're in school, and just in general, a lot of vacations, and not all of them, but we have to get serious around here because September in sports means football. And we are now inside of 3 weeks until the season opener. In fact, in 3 weeks' time, we'll be processing week number one at this very time on this very same network, whatever local affiliate or outlet you use to listen to After Hours. So there is always a part of me that it's thrilled. Football drives the bus. It brings more listeners. We get more traffic to our social media. The conversation, the buzz, everything is heightened during football season. But like you, I will miss the lazy Sundays where there's not quite as much going on. But the preparation has already begun. The preparation, the planning. Jay and I spent 2 hours on Sunday looking ahead to football season, figuring out what we need to do to be ready when the season kicks off because I do have a vacation still remaining. We'll see how this goes. I saved it for the last possible second. I know I've taken a few days off in August here or there, and it's been by design to spend some time with family. So I hadn't done that in quite a while. But then coming up in, well, the stretch around Labor Day, I'll be out. And I mean out, as in checked out. Going to visit mom and her pool. And that's all I will be focused on for 5 days around Labor Day in Houston. Though she tells me, I'm not kidding about this, the pool is cold now, she says. How cold, mom? 84 degrees. Oh, okay. Super cold. Mom will not get in the pool unless it's almost 90, which to me is not refreshing. I do not think 90 degrees, 90 degree water is refreshing.
It's pretty much a hot tub.
No, thank you.
Getting close.
But that's what she loves. And so she told me with the recent rain in her neighborhood, the temperatures have cooled off. Plus she said it doesn't get the afternoon sun anymore. And so the water doesn't warm up to 90 degrees. Instead, it's only 84.
84 is such a comfortable pool temperature, if not on the warmer
amazing.
Side. So
I cannot wait. I've been looking forward to it all summer, ever since I got the plane ticket. So that's happening come next Wednesday. I'll be on my way to Houston. First time seeing my mom since Christmas, so I know you're not going to begrudge me that. Between now and then, between now and vacation, and then when I get back, we'll be firmly focused on not just the NFL, but college football kickoff, as well as what will soon become the stretch run in Major League Baseball. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, @LawRadio. Did you miss me telling you that? I know we have new people all the time because every single show we get brand new followers on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. So yes, on Twitter, I did share a couple photos. What I was doing while I was away from you, I had a good opportunity to go whitewater rafting on the Delaware River on Saturday. It was different than what I expected, but it was awesome. I love anything to do with the water, and it was a wonderful summer activity and had a chance to really navigate some rapids. It was kind of fun to be in the back of this boat that I was in and have the kayak paddle and being able to steer us through the rapids was so much fun. We did have a couple of treacherous moments, but we managed those pretty well. If you missed the stories, I told them earlier on the show. In fact, it might have been about an hour ago or so. So check out the photos on Twitter, @LawRadio, and then I did share them on Facebook as well. So good to have you with us, and we'll be getting back to normal, I suppose, for a week or so, maybe 10 days before we throw your schedule into flux yet again. But it's time. This is how it goes. When I was in church on Sunday teaching my elementary school kiddos, I dared to ask them a couple times how long until school started. And this one little boy, his name is Jonathan. He's very precocious, so much fun. I've had him and his twin sister in class for several years now. They both yelled at me, "Don't say that word." "What word?" "School." "Oh, sorry." okay. So I went over to another table. Hey, how long do you guys start school? And Jonathan yells from the table behind me, I told you, that's twice.
He warned you.
Yeah. So when I asked them, as we were getting ready to do our lesson, how many of them liked school, out of, say, 20 kids, one kid raised his hand, like threw it up into the air, one little boy. And then another little boy, like after maybe 10 seconds, put his hand kind of halfway up in the air. So that was it. Two out of, say, 20 were looking forward to the start of school. All the rest of them were desperately hanging on to summer. And I suppose that doesn't change. Plenty of adults who are doing the same thing. But here we are. We're moving through time and space, like it or not. And at least we have some really cool storylines that are developing on the baseball diamond. I've been on this since spring, since before Major League Baseball came out of its lockout and delayed the start of the season by a full week. I've been telling you that this was a home run chase to watch. And no, I'm not No, I'm not referring to Aaron Judge. I'm referring to Albert Pujols. Ever since he re-signed with the Cardinals, I was thinking ahead. What a magical moment. What a magical ride this could be for Albert. Closing in on 700 home runs, baseball immortality. First half of the season, he only had 6 home runs, and it appeared to be a major long shot. So then I started dialing back my expectations and thinking, well, maybe he can catch Alex Rodriguez, who right now, well, right now and forever, is sitting on 696. It's almost as though the All-Star break, the home run derby, the support of his teammates, as well as the rest of Major League Baseball, the baseball fraternity, gave him a new perspective, gave him some fresh energy for the second half, because he is on a tear right now.
Bumgarner with the pitch, and Albert swings, lifting a high fly ball. Left center field. That's hit deep to the track, to the wall. It's a goner. Albert Pujols. It's a home run with one out in the second inning, number 691.
5 home runs with 12 RBIs in his last 8 games.
Whew. Red hot. And the 3-2 pitch to Albert is hit hard and deep. Left center field. Did he get another one? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. A 2 home run game for Albert Pujols. This one, the line drive variety. And he now has 692. He is absolutely amazing.
That's what you're supposed to do with baseball. Just have fun. You know, at the same time, when you don't have fun, you put too much stress on yourself. And a bunch of great group of guys here, so it's pretty awesome to do that.
No pressure. He says he doesn't care about the numbers, and he reiterates to USA Today that he is retiring at the end of this season, regardless of how many home runs he's got when he's done. But he nearly had a 3rd home run in this game on Saturday, even as he passes Stan Musial for 2nd in total bases in Cardinals history. He's now 4 shy of tying A-Rod, 5 of passing him for 4th all-time, and only 8 from 700 career home runs. So Madison Bumgarner, the latest footnote to Albert Pujols' history. He gives up both of those home runs in the 2nd and 4th innings. And you can tell these guys are having fun, not only supporting the 42-year-old grandpa, but also winning. Winning is fun. Winning is contagious. That excitement, that energy, especially when you're in a pennant race. The Cardinals have put a little distance between themselves and the Brewers. They've won 7 in a row. They are the hottest team in Major League Baseball right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Staying in the National League, the Mets, the Phillies, the Braves, it's going to get compelling down the stretch. And even though it wasn't Max Scherzer or Jacob DeGrom, who, by the way, are lined up to pitch against the Yankees on Monday and Tuesday. That makes the Subway Clash a little bit more scintillating, Subway Series, to have those two starters going for the Mets, especially as poorly as the Yankees have played, and we'll get to them coming up. But in their own division, the Phillies and the Braves are giving the Mets all they can handle.
Two balls, two strikes the count. Trevor May delivers, and the pitch swung on, line to left. It's pretty deep. Canna turns. He looks up, and it is gone! Gene Segura leaping in the air around first base, throws a fist in the air, loses the helmet. He's put the Phillies on top with a pinch hit home run. It just got over the wall, and the Phillies lead it 8-7.
I don't know if I've seen Gene Segura this fired up. How big is that?
Swing and a liner to right field. That's a base hit. It's going towards the right field corner. McNeil on his way to second. Castellanos plays the ball on the warning track. McNeil is going to slam the brakes on at second. Swing and a drive. Well hit to left. Back goes Maton. She is gone. Do you believe this? The Mets have done it again. They take the lead. Swing and a high fly ball. Well hit to right. Castellanos going back. And there she goes. Home run, Brandon Nimmo. The Mets have a two-run lead. It is 10-8 New York.
This was quite a series. 3 of 4 go to the Mets, but real competitive. In fact, they beat Max Scherzer on, was it the first game of the series? Second game of the series? And so it was a big weekend, and the Phillies may have cooled off a little bit, but they're certain to come back with more of a challenge even as we hit the final 6 weeks of the regular season.
I'm really proud of the entire club, just the way they fought. Just wait, you know, we get up 4, they come back. We go up 3, they come back. You know, just back and forth, and they just kept fighting. I mean, all year we've really bounced back on tough losses, so I'm expecting the same thing tomorrow. We just got to come out here and get after Cincinnati. We're going to face them again, hopefully. Playoff baseball is a little bit different than the regular season, but I think for the most part, in the last two series, we played them pretty tough. They're a good ball club, and we're a good ball club.
Is that touching the money to talk about playoffs? Playoffs? So Rob Thompson is confident in his Phillies, but you know what? Buck Showalter is confident in his Mets. 10 runs on 16 hits, and really it was the bullpen for the Phillies that gave up the ghost, allowing 3 runs in the 7th and the 9th innings, as you hear with Howie Rose on Mets Radio before that, Scott Fransky. And he's not kidding. When Segura hit that home run in the 8th, he danced around first base like it was a walk-off. He lost his helmet. Jay and I were actually doing our football planning meeting, and we both had the Mets game on. And I said to him, wait a minute, is it the 8th inning or the 9th inning? Because it looks like he thinks that the game is over. And then the Mets come back, and they score in the top of the 9th with the Mark Canna home run.
He sealed their fate after that celebration.
Oh, so that was touching the money.
That was touching the money.
Got it. That was touching the money.
Playoffs.
Buck Showalter is. I mean, he's got to love what he's seeing from this offense. It was the offense that really. It was never great in 2021, but it fizzled so badly in the heat of summer. It dried up and it disappeared. And that's how the Braves and the Phillies were able to catch the Mets last summer, last August. Not this year. 10 runs on 16 hits on Sunday.
You know, they just didn't give in. A lot of people after the rain delay and the way the game was looking would have come in and, you know, gone back out and, you know, not had that intensity. But our guys thought there was a game there to be won.
You just don't really give away any at bats and really make it tough on the opposing pitcher. And when you have guys that take team at bats and do it for the guy next to you and passing it to the guy behind you, makes it hard on the other team.
So the Mets continue to lead the National League East, even though the Braves, they keep coming. 4-game lead now, but the Braves have won 8 of their last 10. If not for the Cardinals, they are the hottest team in Major League Baseball. So it's Mets on the road in the Bronx taking on the New York Yankees. The Yankees, they're in first place still. But after nearly getting swept by the Blue Jays over the weekend, their lead in the division is down to 8 games over both the Jays and the Rays. Now, I still say they're going to win this division, but man, they cannot seem to get on the same page. when their pitching is locked in, it's their hitting that disappears. And more often than not, that's been the issue. I know Giancarlo Stanton is getting ready to rejoin the roster. He's in rehab starts now. But it's almost impossible for Aaron Judge to see quality pitches if no one else around him is hitting. This led to an Aaron Boone emotional, would we call it a tirade? A strongly worded response to a question on Saturday.
I got to quit answering these questions about this state and this perplexion, and we got to play better, period. And the great thing is it's right in front of us. It's right here, and we can fix it. It's there, and we can run away with this thing. And we got the dudes in there to do it.
The dudes.
We got to do it. If we don't score, tough to win. And I'll answer these same questions. Am I perplexed? Yeah, I am. We got to do better.
Producer Jay believes that Aaron Boone staged that, or that the pounding of the podium that you hear as the microphone
is, it's right in front of us,
gets all warbled, was planned. It was premeditated. I say no way. We don't get to see a lot of emotion from Aaron Boone, but he's obviously frustrated. And if the Yankees continue down this slippery slope and then lose early in the postseason, guess who loses his job? There's no way he survives this if they end up collapsing and don't make any noise in the postseason after the near historic first half. So I believe Boone is invested. Brian Cashman got booed on Sunday at Yankee Stadium as they were retiring Paul O'Neill's number. It's a mess. If I remember correctly, Hal Steinbrenner got booed too. I mean, the Yankees ownership and front office is getting booed. Yankees fans are relatively ruthless.
It's right in front of us.
So I say that was real. It was a real outburst from Aaron Boone. Did the Yankees respond? Well, on Sunday they did.
Now, here's the 0-1. Swung on, there it goes. Deep right, it is high. It is far. Good, it's gone. He hit his first home run. It couldn't have come at a better time. Benny. Oh, multa Benny in the right field seats. And that's raining Benny's from heaven. A two-run blast. And the Yankees now take a 4-2 lead. It'll be an 0-1 to Bradley. He hits a ground ball to second. Gleyber Torres throws to first in time. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Oh, did they need that victory?
A win's a win. You know, it's a good one, and it feels better, you know, especially after, you know, the past couple losses we've had and, you know, dropping that series. But, no, I think you can just go up and down the lineup, and each guy, you know, played a big part in that game.
So Aaron Judge says a win is a win, and he's right, but it's just the 10th win in 30 games for the Yankees. They do avoid the sweep at the hands of the Blue Jays. Alek Manoah nearly hitting Aaron Judge early and then getting up and buzzing the tower kind of late, and Gerrit Cole gets all upset. I mean, there's plenty of emotion around the Yankees. Can they channel it and find that rhythm and groove again? You don't want to go into the playoffs or even into September limping to the finish line, regardless of whether or not you win the division. So the Yankees host the Mets in a just brief two-game stint. It's really the continuation of the first half of the series that was played at Citi Field last month. And it's Domingo Germán for the Yankees against Max Scherzer on Monday. Frankie Montas, who has not had a good couple of games with the Yankees since he was traded, and Jacob deGrom going on Tuesday. Huge. I mean, the Mets already have the better record among those two teams, between those two teams, which would have been laughable in the first half of the season. Can the Yankees use an in-city, an intra-city opponent to get back on the right track? All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. From the weekend, plenty of preseason chatter, a couple of injuries, but also guys who are raising some eyebrows and turning some heads. because we're inside of 3 weeks until the actual season kicks off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Not only is it high, it is far, and Turpin makes one man miss. Let's see what kind of magic he has again. Turpin, jitterbug, Turpin, can he do it again? Kevontae Turpin, gone. Touchdown Cowboys, 72 yards.
Man, I just say, man, I had a blessed night, man. I can't do nothing. Thank God for the blessing that he gave me, man, the opportunity he gave me to come out here and show what I can do. Speed is kills. You know, I just use my speed to, you know, take advantage of our blockers and the way they were blocking. You know, I just feel like it was great on our special teams, on our special team unit.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to the NFL. Kevontae Turpin trying to make his first NFL roster. This is a guy who made a lot of noise in the USFL. He was the MVP, would like to be a Dallas Cowboy for the 2022 season. And boy, did he impress. Speeds kills, as he says. He returns not just a kickoff, but a punt for touchdowns. First player in 9 seasons in the Dallas organization to have a kickoff and a punt return go for TDs in the same game. Pretty awesome. So the Dallas wide receiver is his official position. Set Twitter on fire on Saturday, and I'm so excited for him. These are the kind of stories that you love about sports, the underdogs, the guys who beat all the odds and who are able to use an opportunity, as small as it may be, and turn it into a dream come true. Again, one of those elements about sports that I absolutely adore. He signed with the Cowboys in late July after winning the USFL MVP. And he becomes the first since Detroit's Jeremy Ross in 2013. And we're talking preseason, regular season playoffs, to have both a punt and a kickoff return for scores. And Mike McCarthy has talked about Turpin and how impressed he's been with him since he got into camp. And one of the elements that you generally see with athletes who maybe haven't had the same natural ability or just haven't had the same opportunities, they will fight and they will scratch and they will claw and they will do anything that you ask of them. And anything that is needed. In fact, they'll go above and beyond because they're not going to take this opportunity for granted. Turpin comes out of TCU. He did get in trouble with the law in 2018. He was kicked out of school or kicked off the team because he was accused of assaulting his girlfriend. There was another assault case in New Mexico. And so he pled guilty in that Texas case and had a chance to clear the conviction from his record. He went through abuse intervention, counseling, and programs and had to work his way from the bottom because of his own mistakes and his own choices. So he played in something called the Fan-Controlled Football League, indoor. Then he played in the Spring League, then the European League of Football for 3 years. Who's ever heard of any of those? Very few of us. Before he signs with the USFL and the New Jersey Generals. Led the league in receiving yards and had the only punt return for a touchdown. But to get a tryout of sorts with the Cowboys, maybe to make the roster, would represent some major redemption for him. It doesn't excuse the choices he's made in the past. He's paid for those. But again, he won't take it for granted. And it'll mean more to him than it will to someone who's always had the opportunities handed to him or her. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. YouTube channel as well. If you missed my conversation with Tyler Drake from the desert, you know that Glendale State Farm Stadium is where the next Super Bowl will be held. I wouldn't say I'm already making plans, but I'm kind of making plans. We're definitely going to be there. You got to start early with this football planning stuff because it goes by in a major blur. It's just weird to think about the fact that what were there, 56, 54? What Super Bowl are we on? Marco Belletti is here in studio. Are we going to Super Bowl 57? That's what's next, right?
I never remember.
Me neither. The Roman numerals are easier to remember than the year. I'm pretty sure it's 57 we're going into. Okay.
57. Yep.
All right. So we never had a home team host a Super Bowl in its own stadium for the first 54 years. And the last 2 years in a row, we've had Bucks win on their own field and the Rams win on their own field. So as much as I do love quirky conversation, it only took me about 33 seconds before I was annoyed with the conversation on Fox of whether or not the Cardinals would become the third team to host the Super Bowl in their own stadium and win it. I mean, how many times do you think we're going to hear that this season? Especially if, well, with Kyler Murray's contract, if the Cardinals come out of the gate hot like they did last year? No. I was done with it after 30 seconds of Sean Payton.
You just hit it right there. Do they come out hot? They come out 1-3? You're not going to hear it.
Ever?
No.
Ever again?
No, you're not going to hear it. It's all about that. They come out 5-0, yeah, you're going to hear about it.
But if they go 8-0 like they did last year?
Then you'll hear it.
You're still only halfway through. And
I'm aware.
And they stunk the rest of the year.
I'm aware. But that's when you'll hear it, because that's when you hear the hype train. At 2-4, it's hard to hype the train. It just doesn't run. So it all depends on how the Cardinals come out of the gates. Which they historically with Kingsbury come out hot and then slow down. So we'll see.
So if you missed my conversation with Tyler, it's on our podcast After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. He was there at the game for Cardinals and Ravens, who for some reason value what is a 22-game, did I just steal your thunder, Marco? 22-game win streak, but preseason games. I don't understand that. Why is that so important to them? The scores don't even matter.
It does. I think when you go that many in a row, though, I think it just becomes a source of pride that any game that you go out there, you win. I can understand it.
That I can understand about John Harbaugh.
That's what I mean. I think that's an organizational thing.
Wanting to win at everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the idea that when we step on the field, we win. Look, you always say that. You don't really mean it. But when you start getting into, you know, we haven't lost a game in, whatever, 9 years, yeah, it starts to become a sense of pride.
It is us.
I'm actually doing a radio hit on our Baltimore affiliate in a couple hours, actually 2 hours from now, with Rob Long, who's flying solo on this Monday morning. So you can catch me there if you're in the Baltimore area, 105.7 The Fan. And Rob has graciously invited me. I asked him why he doesn't ever invite me when it's the entire crew, the other two guys. And he said, I don't trust them. Don't know what that means, but that's straight. He's going to kill me, maybe, that I shared that. So, in Baltimore, in 2 hours on 105.7 The Fan. Otherwise, podcast for the rest of you troopers.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Looking for our first ace of the event. 203 yards today, this par three. All the tilt in the green is from right to left. Oh, Victor Hovland, an ace. How about the start to Sunday for Hovland? He holds out from the bunker at one and dunks it at the second.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not only was it a hole-in-one at the BMW Championship, but one lucky student gets to go to college for free. How about that? We got that off the PGA Tour Twitter, and producer Jay had his Twitter search engine going and came across this story of a hole-in-one for anyone at this particular event, the BMW. And because of that, it's a 4-year, $125,000 scholarship for an aspiring college student. It's the Evans Scholars Foundation. And so it's college tuition and housing scholarships to young caddies who have shown strong academics and have financial needs. And so BMW has to fork over $125,000 to send one student to college, which is pretty sweet. On the PGA Tour, and that, you know me, I love alliteration, they labeled it an ace alert. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's Patrick Cantlay, who won this BMW championship going back to Sunday. And so now we're getting close to the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Right after that, the LIV Tour lands in Boston for its next U.S. event. So it's kind of its U.S. swing. The reports out there, and it's not just one report, it's multiple reports, indicate that there is a group of seven golfers who will be making the jump to the LIV Tour for this next event in Boston. And I looked for the names. I did. I looked to try to find a list of all seven. The only name that's out there right now, at least that I could find, I didn't start paying for websites and all that jazz, but the only one that I could find is Cam Smith. And this has been out there for a couple of weeks now. I think the Telegraph may have been the first to share the news or to break the news or to throw the speculation out there that the Open champion winner, Cameron Smith, who is Australian, is planning to make the jump to the LIV Tour. And part of the reason is that Greg Norman is his golfing idol. As Greg Norman's Australian and is in charge of the LIV Tour. And so, again, the reports that I've seen now, and I've read multiple articles, most of them coming out of the UK, that the LIV Tour will announce seven more PGA golfers who will play in that Boston event. And, of course, once they tee off in Boston, they will be suspended indefinitely by the PGA Tour itself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was funny because the article that I read clearly had a slant to it. The headline was about seven more rebels who will make their jump to the PGA Tour. I, a lot of times, call them defections. But regardless, LIV Golf is not going away. And this comes right on the heels of Tiger Woods flying into Wilmington, Delaware, where the BMW Championship was being held, trying to rally the PGA membership for unity and loyalty. Rory McIlroy calling him, and I quote, a hero. You have it? Oh, okay. Well, if that's the case, and now we find out, or we at least hear the rumor that seven more golfers will jump when the FedEx Cup playoffs are over.
It shows how much he cares about the tour. I think it shows how much he cares about the players that are coming through and are going to be the next generation. I mean, he's the hero that we've all looked up to, and his voice carries further than anyone else's in the game of golf. You know, and his role is navigating us to a place where we all think we should be.
Did Tiger take like a leadership position, or was he just one of the guys talking when you guys all met?
I mean, I think it's pretty apparent that whenever we all get in the room, there's an alpha in there,
yeah.
And it's not me.
So Rory McIlroy in awe of Tiger Woods flying to Delaware, showing up to speak to the golfers. Apparently, there were a lot of ideas generated. Maybe at some point we could talk about those. But there are a bunch of ideas generated about how the PGA could essentially make its tour more relevant, more attractive in the face of the LIV competition. And everybody came out of that meeting just raving about Tiger's appearance, about his approach, about the alpha in the room. And yet, even as the FedEx Cup playoffs wrap up with the Tour Championship, you could have another seven golfers make the jump. Is it purely financial? Maybe. But it's got to the point where it's impossible to ignore. And Cam Smith, the most recent major winner, is also number two in the world. So maybe you didn't think Brooks Koepka or Bryson DeChambeau or Dustin Johnson or Phil Mickelson or Henrik Stenson were major losses. At some point, one of these golfers, whether it's Cam Smith at number two, who was so much fun to watch at the Open Championship, at some point, another one of these may rack the golf world to the point where it kind of fires up this war of words again, or at the very least, the LIV Tour reminds the PGA that you can't just dismiss us as if we matter none. And I think as much as the talk from Commissioner Jay Monahan may be, hey, this is the altruistic path moving forward. We're a nonprofit. We engage in all these charitable organizations, or we engage with all these charitable organizations. We give back to the community. We're not just about the money. There has been speculation, and certainly the PGA has thrown out a few new ideas for the upcoming season, so the 23 season. They're going to have to accept that it's real competition. And beyond that, okay, so beyond just the talk and the PR, the LIV Tour couldn't have purchased if it had tried over the course of the spring. It's the advertising dollars. At some point, the LIV Tour will get a broadcast partner. Maybe initially that was ridiculous and the LIV was only going to stream its events live. But there will be a broadcast partner that will step up and take the plunge if more and more of these golfers leave. And so maybe it doesn't happen this year. Maybe it happens next year. But whether it's an Amazon Prime, whether it's another one of these outlets, for instance, Apple TV is now streaming baseball games. Apple Plus, Apple Plus is now streaming baseball games. And there are actual baseball games that you can only access the video. You can only access the video online. Even if you are in the actual market where the team plays, they black you out and you can only watch the games on Apple Plus. Now, I have satellite radio for that reason. I can listen to any baseball game, any football game out of the home market, and I do. Because a lot of times there are games that I can't see when they're live. I have to go back and watch them. That's the value of radio. But golf on the radio, that's completely different. I have listened to it, I'll confess, but it's relatively slow. But if there are advertisers who partner with the LIV Tour and a broadcast outlet that will partner with the LIV Tour, maybe right now it's still a little bit toxic, a little bit too controversial. But the more golfers make the jump, advertisers will recognize, hey, it's an opportunity for us to make money. It is the almighty dollar in sports always. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks for finding us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's always good to know that I was missed, but I've got to tell you, I gave up trying to answer all your questions about my schedule and when I'm hosting and if I'm changing time slots. I suppose it'll settle down as we get toward football and you'll figure it out eventually. Or maybe you won't. You could be like the 5-year-old that I had a conversation with on Saturday who said to me, "What's a radio?" So I asked producer Jay how he would answer that question. He got all caught in the trap.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
Of trying to explain what a radio is, like the technical side of a radio to a 5-year-old. What did you say to me? It's that place. You
said, we don't have time for that.
First you said it's that place.
It's that place where you can hear voices.
Where you listen.
Listen.
Then what did you say to me after that? You said it's that thing.
I said it's airwave.
Oh, it's airwave. Like a 5-year-old is going to understand what an airwave
is. Yeah, they get that one.
Yeah, so It was a little bit of a wake-up call. I don't know if she genuinely had never heard the term radio or heard the word radio, or that radio to a five-year-old is obsolete because most people listen on their phones or watch TV. But I will say this. Radio is immediate, and it's portable, and it's a constant companion, and the format is so different than TV. So, yes, lots of people have podcasts. 8,492,000 people with original podcasts, which is why when Jay and I start to add a special After Hours After Party to our YouTube channel as a way to give you content that you will not hear on After Hours, we are not going to label it a podcast. He wanted to, and I talked him down off that wall. No. Podcast instantly. Well, first of all, we have a podcast. Second of all, podcast instantly get some people to get their eyes rolled back in their head because there's so many podcasts. No, it's going to be YouTube. That's it. The After Hours After Party on YouTube. We'll give you more details. We will reconvene on Monday night. Have a great day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!